believers are transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. This is one of the series on the positional riches that we have in Jesus Christ. 33 things happen to a believer the instant he comes to know Jesus Christ as a Savior, and this is one of them. Some believers express anxiety over the current political situation they face in this world, fearing godless parties may gain positions in government that may cause the country to deteriorate in various ways. I've been noticing on the news there's quite a battle going on in Britain right now between on this whole issue of Britain exiting from the European Union. And there's a conservative prime minister who's in charge, and he wants to get Britain out of the EU just as fast as he can so they can have liberty. And you got the socialists on the other hand, they want to hold on to the union with the European Union, and there's this tremendous battle going on. The people have already voted to go out, but if you go out without a deal, it could hurt the financial welfare of the nation and so forth. But there's this battle that's going on. They're actually in a state of checkmate at this particular point. China, in Hong Kong, you've got the prime minister, or the lady down there who's leading Hong Kong. She has wanted to pass legislation for extradition, so if people in Red China, on the mainland China, want to prosecute somebody in Hong Kong, that they have to be extradited from Hong Kong to China, because China is trying to extend her totalitarian power over Hong Kong. That's why you have all these riots. The people in Hong Kong, they do not want to surrender their liberties to the mainland Chinese. They want to stay as independent as they can, so that's why they've had all these situations, battles that have been going on. People have been marching, and there have been riots and so forth. So there's a big problem in our whole world today over this issue of government leadership. But one of the 33 positional truths that every believer possesses the instant he trusts in Jesus Christ for salvation is the fact that he is transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Last Sunday we discussed how a person is translated out of Satan's kingdom, but we're instantly transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We're going to talk about that. Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer in the Systematic Theology, Volume 3, Soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation, deals with this truth on page 248. So, applying this truth edifies the believer regarding concerns in this life about his country, about his nation. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for your love and your word. We thank you for the opportunity of studying your word. And thank you for the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit who clarifies the meaning of the word, who applies it to us, and who equips us actually to live in obedience to the word. So we ask, Father, for insight this morning and clarity, and then the will to yield to the Spirit's leading to obey this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Many Christians are aware that Scripture predicts the future earthly kingdom of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 21, 1-4 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal over him that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded during the great tribulation for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the Antichrist, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is where the term millennial kingdom comes. Millennium refers to 1,000. And it's we believe in the literal reign of Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed is holy he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So those of us of the premillennial, pre-tribulational view take the 1,000 years as literal years. Those of the amillennial position say this 1,000 years is taken figuratively, That's currently going on right now, because allegedly the church is supposed to be gaining a foothold and gain control of the governments of this world, and it's going to get so, you know, kumbaya that it's going to be wonderful and Jesus will come back. Well, everything's the opposite of that. Things are going downhill, so the amillennial view is not coming along. The post-tribulational view, that the rapture occurs at the end of the tribulation, that's based off the amillennial view. But we're premillennialists and pre-tribulation. We believe the rapture occurs before the tribulation. You have the great tribulation for 7 years, and then there's the literal reign of Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. However, besides this hope, the instant one trusts in Christ as Savior from sin, the believer is removed from Satan's spiritual rule that dominates this world and is placed into Christ's spiritual kingdom. This is why you may notice when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're all of a sudden, you're almost like a foreigner. Even though you might live, your relatives don't know the Lord and so forth, you might live among them, you sense there's a separation. There really is. You are part of the kingdom of God's Son. Unsaved people are not. They're part of the kingdom of Satan. There's a very strong difference there in the spiritual realm. Well, anyway, as we learned in the last lesson, before one trusts in Christ, he belonged to Satan's world dominion and carries Satan's bidding. Ephesians 2:1-2, we did the things of the prince of the power of the air. In 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. The word lieth is used of a mother that nurses and rocks her baby in her arms. That's a pretty good picture of what Satan is doing. Satan is coddling the world right now, trying to make it comfortable with him. And so it's coddling the world. The world has its own system and whatnot. But we're not part of that world. We're distinct from it. That's very interesting. So, however, the instant one trusts in Christ for salvation, he's wonderfully delivered from Satan's power of darkness and transferred into the spiritual kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 is the passage that tells us about this. Who, that's Christ and God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us, or transferred us, if you have the English Standard Version, into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, Dean Alford, in his book, The New Testament for English Readers, stated that the action described in Colossians 1:13 is strictly local. Namely, it is accomplished in this life. We're not transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son in sometime in the future. This happens instantaneously and happens exactly where you are at when you believe in Jesus Christ. It's local. Henry Alford in 1856, he has a Greek New Testament. I have his original volumes, actually points this out as well. Accordingly, the instant one trusts in Jesus Christ, he becomes a member of God's kingdom on earth in this earthly life before Christ's physical kingdom is established at his second coming to the earth. Right now, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are part of Christ's spiritual kingdom. You're not of the kingdom of Satan, who controls this world. So you are spiritually a foreigner in this world. You are. Now, the blessings that can flow from this truth, if the believer heeds God, prepare him for blessing on earth, regardless what occurs in the political realm of the lost world around him that is controlled by Satan. Notice conditional situation here. Blessings can flow if the believer heeds the Lord. If we don't heed the Lord and we mix it up with the world and try to get along with the world, we actually are doing something that is unnatural, and we don't enjoy the blessings of the Lord. At faith in Christ, one becomes a member of Christ's kingdom while living in this life. John 3, verses 3 and 5. That's Jesus talking to Nicodemus. Thus saved, the believer is called of God to function righteously. And of course, you do that by the Holy Spirit's power, according to Galatians 5:16. And you do that in this life, regardless what occurs in the current worldly political landscape around you. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 mentions this. I just want to read this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. He says, "You are witnesses that God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you should walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom and glory." The believer functions completely separate from the world, and he's supposed to function in righteousness and with blamelessness and in love and so forth, even though the world around him is in a state of chaos or whatnot. The believer is thus a foreign ambassador for Christ on the earth, even in his humanly native country. And as an ambassador, he represents the coming kingdom interests of Jesus Christ before a lost world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says, "Then we are ambassadors for Christ." An ambassador is someone who's from another country, and he represents the leadership of that country in a foreign country. So he's living in the embassy, but it's in a foreign country, and you are an ambassador for Christ. I'm an ambassador for Christ. The theme song of Multnomah School of the Bible, where I went to Bible school, was built on this verse. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. We are in the world, but not of the world. We're ambassadors for Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven above. We're subjects of the King of Love, and so forth, and the song goes. So, you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now, as such, the believer is a good ambassador for Christ if he heeds the laws of the earthly governmental landscape around him to testify of the law-abiding, sensible, gentle nature of his Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to look at that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, tells us, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme," and remember the king was Nero at this time, "or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For this is the will of God, that with doing well you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." As free, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as slaves of God. "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So as an ambassador always seeks to get along with the foreign kingdom in which he is living, and he seeks to represent in a very positive light, and that's what we shouldn't be doing. Obviously, there's a limit to this. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it's better to obey God than man, and the foreign government requires that we disobey God in some realm in order to obey man. We have to disobey the government that is around us. In China, for example, if you're pregnant with your second child, then you have to get an abortion. That's the rule that you used to have. I don't know if they still have that. Well, that's obviously a rule that a Chinese Christian in China would have to disobey, because abortion is murder, and you don't want to submit to that. So it's very important that we seek to get along with and submit to the governing powers that exist around us. And the only exception is when we have to obey the Lord, when God's will is distinct from the world's view around us. So we have to live in harmony with every governmental power in order, with the exception, they obey God instead of these earthly powers whenever God's directives conflict with man's laws. Acts 5:29. A couple years ago, I was taken in. I had to go in for jury duty, and I was examined in reference to a murder trial that was going to be coming up. And the judge took me in. He could see by my occupation that I was a pastor of a church and everything. And he wanted to know, is there any way that you would not completely comply with the directive that I gave you? And I said, only in one area. If the law of God differs with the law of man, I have to obey the law of God over the law of man. So he rephrased it. He said, you mean if I give you a direct order, but that order violates what your higher power would direct otherwise, you would disobey me? I said, yes. I didn't know if I was going to be jailed for, not respecting the judge or what. But he said, well, I don't believe in creating conflicts. So he said, you are dismissed. He did not want me to there. So here in the state of Connecticut, because I want to obey God over man, I probably will never be seated on a jury. Very interesting. That's where the state of Connecticut has come. We were founded in godly principles, but not now. So, but anyway, I went, I did my duty, did what I was supposed to do, and I was directed out. But the believer has confidence that regardless how evil or foreboding the political landscape around him becomes, the Lord is proceeding to build his church on the earth so that the powers of Satan are not able to overcome it. In Matthew 16, Jesus said in verse 18, on this rock, speaking of himself, the confession that Peter had made that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this rock of confession of Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The gates were a reference to the authorities. The authority of Satan would not prevail against the building of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the believer is to be motivated to keep doing God's will and discipling others, knowing that Christ is spiritually with him to help him in his ministry effort. This is where you have Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. So Jesus Christ has authority over the government of the state of Connecticut, the government of the federal government, the Congress, the presidency, and so forth. He has power over that and all the governments of the world and the local town government. Therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. In other words, based on my authority, Jesus said, which is supreme, I want you to go into the world, and lo, I'm with you always. So I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you in the process. I'm going to open doors and close doors appropriately. So that's what we are supposed to do. Now, if the believer who thus obeys God as a good ambassador, this hall is based upon obedience of Christ, is raptured by Christ in 2 Thessalonians 4:13 to 8, that's the rapture, or if he dies naturally, or even if he's martyred for his faith by an evil earthly entity, his soul leaves the earth to enter his heavenly capital, the New Jerusalem. It's interesting that Hebrews 12:22 says we are come to the heavenly Jerusalem, and then it names the people, the various parties that are there. In Revelation 21, 1-27, that's where you go, the heavenly Jerusalem. They pave the streets there with gold. The gates are made of solid pearls. And you've got an apartment there of one kind or another. We know that. And you're entered into with great honor. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:11, if we're growing in the Lord and doing what the Lord wants us, we have an abundant entrance into heaven, which means an honorable entrance into heaven. In the end, the believer will return to the earth when Christ comes to set up his kingdom, and he will rule with Christ in triumphant glory. Revelation 5, 8-10 talks about the fact that you have the 24 elders around the throne, and they say, we shall rule on the earth. That's the church, and that's after the rapture. We're going to be looking forward to the coming time when we return to the earth and we rule on the earth. Revelation 19, 1-21 is about the second coming of Christ, and Revelation 21-4 is the second, is the kingdom, the millennial kingdom of the Lord. So once one trusts in Christ for salvation, he's transferred from Satan's power into the kingdom of God's dear Son to enjoy a meaningful foreign ambassadorship of representing Christ's future rule on the earth before a lost world. If the believer then performs God's assignment in life, nothing can deter his experiencing current personal spiritual blessing and success, not even evil rulers or powers in this life, and he can joyfully anticipate the day Christ returns to take him to heaven and then to return with him as Christ sets up his kingdom on the earth. So, to handle the strain of having to coexist with sinfully earthly powers, may we trust in Christ for salvation and function by the Holy Spirit's power for God's glory, regardless what occurs in the world that is around us. Since the spiritual kingdom to which we have been transferred is the kingdom of God's dear Son, notice the word dear is actually beloved is in the Colossians 1:13 verse in the King James Version, and we are personally in the Son, may we realize that we are loved by God and thus joyfully, confidently serve him. As a citizen of the spiritual kingdom of God, you are a focal point of God's love because you're in his Son and he loves his Son. with an infinite love. You are an object, as a citizen of the Father in heaven, you are an object of his love. That's a wonderful state in which to be. I don't think we can fully comprehend that now, but when we get into heaven, we will recognize that the love of God for every one of his subjects who is there is complete, and he has complete personal knowledge of us. He feels totally comfortable with us and so forth. And we're going to enjoy that fellowship with the Lord and with God's people. We're going to be with God's people from all over the world, people who have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, transferred and so forth, and we're going to be able to fellowship with them. And that's going to be an absolutely wonderful situation. So that's what we need to do. We need to realize that we've been transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son, but then rely upon the Holy Spirit and live as good ambassadors in order to enjoy the peace and the settledness that comes as a result of knowing the Lord versus all sorts of stuff that may go around us that is in upheaval. We are increasingly seeing upheaval occur in the world, in the political realm. That's true. But we have to keep in mind that we are not primarily citizens of the United States. We are right now citizens of the United States, but this is not our ultimate home. Our ultimate home is a perfect kingdom. It's a perfect rule with a perfect leader. And we're looking forward to that coming. So until that kingdom comes, it's going to be imperfect. The former speechwriter of Ronald Reagan, President Ronald Reagan, is Peggy Noonan. She was for a while, she was a speechwriter for him. I'll never forget, she wrote an article, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal. She has a column there. And she said, before the baby boomer generation, which is my generation, all Americans did not view this life, even here in the United States, as the perfect. We had developed a constitution that talked about the pursuit of happiness, because, you know, we felt that everybody had that right and so forth. But for generations, Americans still looked for heaven as the area where you wanted to be, as the perfect situation. Along comes the baby boomers, that's my generation. All of a sudden, we decided we wanted heaven on earth now, here. And so we went about trying to develop heaven on earth here. And that doesn't work, of course, because on the earth you've got sin. And ever since then, Americans have been torn because they recognize this is not heaven on earth. Well, we need to go back to what our forefathers recognized. It isn't. We're waiting for the heavenly kingdom of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're foreigners. We're foreigners in a world that is affected, and Satan is the king. Actually, Satan is the god of this world. He rules, he runs the place. So we have to keep that in mind, and that helps us a lot. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback. It could be on the subject here at hand, or one of the subjects, or it could be on something else. Feel free to, if you had some questions or some feedback in regards to that, we'll seek to address this information by means.